Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Last week, I talked a little bit about two categories of gifts. As we come, this Christmas season comes to the close, we think a lot about gifts. And I talked about two different kind of categories of gifts. When I think about gifts, there are the gifts that they keep on getting and the gifts that keep on giving. The gifts that keep on getting are the kind of the gifts that you get over and over again. Maybe there's a certain gift you get every year. That's the gift that keeps on getting. The gift that keeps on giving is the kind of gift that you get and then you continually use that gift. That's a gift that continues to be present in your life or that continues to bless you, the gift that keeps on giving. And I shared with you also last week the gift for me, something that I've done here at the beginning of the year for many years. It's the gift that fits both these categories for me. It's called my one word. Every year for the last probably about 7 years, I've gone through this process every January where I've prayed and searched the scriptures for a word. One word that is God's word for me throughout that year. It guides me. It becomes a theme, if you will, for the rest of the year on what it's going to look like for me to seek to follow Christ and allow God to work in and through my life. And so for me, that's the gift that I keep on getting every year that keeps on giving throughout the whole year. Does that make sense? The process is based on a book called One Word That Will Change Your Life. I talked a little bit about that last week, and I shared about the book, and many of you have said that you've already gone out and gotten it or are looking at it. And so if you want to know more about it, I'll be glad to help you with that. I don't get any royalties off of it or anything, but it's something I really believe in and enjoy sharing with people. One of the things that it says in the book, one of the kind of premises of the book, is that New Year's resolutions rarely work. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have New Year's resolutions? I know I've got a few New Year's resolutions, and that's great. But one of the sad things that it mentions in the book, one of the statistics it says is 50% of all New Year's resolutions fail by February. Now, I'm sure that that's not you, but other people, New Year's resolutions typically don't even make it through January. So what it talks about is that we don't need necessarily another New Year's resolution. What we really need is New Year's revelation. So that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this morning. The title of my sermon is New Year's Revelation. And sometimes when you talk about revelation in church, your mind goes to the book of Revelation, right? So some of you might be a little bit nervous right now that I'm going to be talking about the visions and the end of the world kind of stories that we hear in the book of Revelation. Just want you to know that's not where I'm going this morning. I don't want to talk about the book of Revelation. What I'm going to talk about is this idea of revelation. And there's just a really simple kind of concept of what revelation is. What revelation is simply something that is revealed. It's as simple as that. Has anybody ever revealed something to you before? Maybe it was a secret or an insight, maybe a hope and a dream that someone
has. Maybe it was like a friend or a spouse or a coworker or a child. They revealed something to you. And in revealing whatever it was that they revealed to you, it was much more than that. In essence, they were revealing something of themselves to you. They were revealing a part of who they are. If you think about that, think about that experience that maybe you've had. Somehow that process, that exchange of revelation, it connects you to that person. It makes you feel closer to that person. It maybe even makes you feel like you can share something of yourself with that person too. The idea of revelation is that it's this kind of connection that creates this new level of friendship or intimacy or depth with another person within the context of a relationship. And I share that with you this morning to share this with you. I want to begin by sharing with you and maybe reminding you of an amazing truth that we cling to in our faith. It's something that we really need to be reminded of daily, but especially right now here at the beginning of the new year, because it's a foundational idea of who we are and all that we'll do or not do in this year. Are you ready? Here's the amazing truth. The amazing truth is that the God of the universe has revealed himself to us. The Lord God Almighty has made himself known to you and to me. If you stop and think about it, isn't that an amazing truth? That the God that we sing about desires a connection, desires a relationship with us. The reason I know that is because the Bible is God's revelation to us. It's literally called God's word to us because it reveals to us something of who God is. In fact, the scriptures reveal a God whose desire from the very beginning is to reveal himself to his creation. The scriptures reveal to us that God's hopes and dreams are to be in relationship with all of humanity, to intimately know and be known by us within the context of a relationship. The scriptures reveal a God whose desire is to share the depths of his insight and the mysteries of his divine nature with us. Isn't that amazing if you stop and think about it? Over and over again throughout scripture, it tells of a God who reveals himself to Adam and Eve in the garden. To Noah, to Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David. God reveals himself through creation, through people, through experiences, through the written word and through the spoken word. But what I believe is the greatest revelation of God's nature and character to us is the birth of his Son. And I love the way that the writer of Hebrews talks about it. Listen to this. Hebrews 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in many various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe." And then listen to this. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." The ultimate revelation of God is through his Son, Jesus Christ, the exact representation of his being. When we look at Jesus, we're able to see that this is who God is. This is what God is like. And this is what God thinks and feels about us. And not only do we get to see that, but through Jesus, we are able to have that. We are able to experience that relationship with God where we know and are known. This brings us to today and to our scripture lesson. Today is, we've already talked about it a little bit, but today is what's called Epiphany Sunday. It's the day in the life of the church where we focus on that story of the wise men who journey from afar to see the gift of the Christ child. And the definition of Epiphany is a divine manifestation in the midst of human history. In other words, it's God revealing himself to humanity right where we are, right in our midst. So the little definition of revelation that I came up with for us this week is simply this. Revelation is God sharing the gift of God's presence, provision, and purpose with God's people. Let me say it one more time. Revelation is God sharing the gift of God's presence and provision and purpose with God's people. The title of the series that we're going to be doing for the next week is simply The Gift, because that's what it is. It's a gift from God to us, a gift that we receive and share. Our scripture lesson today is a story, a powerful story about God's revelation to God's people. And God reveals himself in such a way that it changes the people involved. But not only does it change them, it changes the world. It literally changes the course of human history. So hear these words from God's Word, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." This is God's word for us this morning. I want to share just really quickly with you three takeaways from this timeless story. And my hope is that they would help you and me as we seek to receive this gift of God's revelation in our own lives, and as we seek to respond to God's revelation with the gift of our lives. So here they are. Here's the first one. Revelation often involves unlikely recipients. I want you to think back to the very beginning of the story. Who was it that were the recipients of God's revelation? It's important. And maybe even more importantly, is who was not the recipients of God's revelation. Who would you think in the story would be the ones to receive this revelation from God? For me, it would be the king of God's people, the Jews, right? And the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They knew the law, they knew the history, they knew the story. But the story goes in a little bit different direction. God reveals himself in an unexpected way. See, there were these magi, these wise men who were astrologers from, historians say, somewhere around the area of Persia. The point of the story, the point of that piece is that they were outsiders. They were foreigners from a foreign land who had foreign values and beliefs. And so the unexpected thing that happens right there at the very beginning is that there is something revealed to them by faith. Something that those with power and position could not comprehend. They were able to see something by faith that the others couldn't see. Now, this is an important part of the story, I think, that we can easily miss sometimes. We go kind of past it. But here's why I think it's important, especially for you and me this morning. I bet that there is someone here this morning who said something like this before. You know what? God can never reveal himself to me. God can never speak to me. God only speaks to the really, really holy, really righteous people. Have you ever thought that before? I bet maybe you have. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone come up to me and say, "Pastor, would you pray for me, or would you pray for this situation?" Because, and then they say something like, "Because you've got a direct line to God." Right? As if there's this little red phone in my office that says, you know, direct line to God. And what I really want to say to them many times is, yes, I do have a direct line to God, but so do you. That's the good news of God's revelation in Jesus Christ, is that we all have a direct line to God. God has made himself known to us so that we might have a connection. That's at least one point I think the story is trying to make, that God's revelation and the coming of Christ is for everyone. I hope you'll hear that this morning. A relationship with God is not something that's restricted for the really, really good people. It's not something that's reserved for the religious elite. It's for everyone who will respond to the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of God's good news. That's what Paul explains it to the church in Ephesus like this. He says, "In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it is now has been revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." That is the Gentiles, the outsiders, the sinners have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, sharers in the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. That's the good news. That's God's good news, is that God wants a relationship with you. And it's for everyone, Jews, Gentiles, saints, and sinners alike. God wants to connect with you. God wants to have a relationship with you. So the question is not if God reveals himself to you. The question is, when he does, how will you respond? That brings me to the second takeaway this morning. It's this: revelation often involves unusual responses. You see, there are two responses in this story to the event of Jesus coming as one of us. To the Magi, the revelation of God in Jesus Christ was this fulfilled promise that needed to be celebrated. And so they set out to celebrate. But see, King Herod, the revelation of God in Jesus Christ was this threat that needed to be controlled. Same event, different responses. There's a fine line, I guess, between a threat and a promise. How many of you have heard somebody say that before? Is that a threat? And then the other person says, it's not a threat, it's a promise, right? There's this thin line, and I think that's true in our life of faith too. Still today, when God reveals himself to people, sometimes it's perceived more as a threat than a promise. If I'm really honest, there are probably many times that God has revealed something to me about who God is, or maybe about who I am, my relationships, my future, and my response is to view it as a threat, not a promise. To view it with fear instead of faith. How many times have we perceived God's revelation as a threat to life as we know it, to the world that we've created and the world that we've grown accustomed to controlling? Does that make sense? I think that was what was going on with Herod. But what if we were able to see God's revelation like the wise men, as an opportunity for God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives, that we would participate in what God is doing? What if we viewed it not as a threat, but as a promise? What difference might that make in our lives, in our relationships, in our day-to-day? What if we really believe that on the other side of life as we know it, that maybe God knows something that we don't? And through God's revelation, God has something in store for us that might be more than we could possibly imagine. This brings me to the very last takeaway this morning. Number three, revelation often involves undeniable results. Listen to how the story ends. Do you remember? Herod and the religious leaders, they were left at a distance, wandering and worrying. But the Magi, they were found wondering and worshiping at the very feet of Jesus, in the very presence of God Himself. They were worshiping. They were celebrating what God had done and is doing. And it changed their lives. It literally changed their direction. Do you remember the story? It says that they returned home to their country by another route. I think there's some symbolism there that's important for us. That's what God's revelation in our lives does as well. It changes us. The results of revelation, even to unlikely recipients, responded to by faith in the promises of God, it always leads to transformation. Revelation transforms ordinary people into vessels of God's extraordinary blessing and purpose. And God's extraordinary blessing and purpose transforms the world. That's the message of this story. It's the message for us in our story, I believe, for you and me today, that God's revelation is filled with God's promises for those who would respond and receive it by faith. It's filled with God's potential, and it's filled with God's power to bring about results which by faith might alter the course of our very lives, and maybe even all of human history. I truly believe and am convinced that God's revelation will change your life if you let it. And if you'll let it, your life might just change the world. Maybe even if it's just the world as you know it. You remember the title of the book at the very beginning of the sermon? One word that will change your life. Think about that. If one word has the power to change our lives, then can you imagine what one word from God might do? Can you imagine what one word from the Word of God might do for your perspective this year? How it might set a course for you in 2019 that might be life-changing? Can you imagine what the Word made flesh, made fresh in your life might do for your relationships in the days ahead? How it might put your marriage or your job or your family on this life-changing, world-changing trajectory in 2019? Do you believe that that's possible? Here's what I believe. I believe with God, all things are possible. And maybe this is something that only God can do. And so maybe the question is, will you let Him? The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. So would you be willing to commit to praying and searching the Scriptures for a Word that might be God's Word for you this year? Would you be willing to step out in faith and allow God to speak to you through this one word process? It's a simple process. There's three steps that the book talks about. It says, look in, look up, and look out. Three questions that it has in the book just to kind of get you started is to think about, what do I need to step out into this? What do I need? What's in my way and what needs to go? And then it's simply listening to what God might have to say through prayer and through God's Word. And then seeking to live that out in your life. This morning, I just want to ask if you would be open to believing that God desires to share with you the gift of God's presence and provision and purpose. And would you be open to receiving that gift? Maybe you want to come and pray about that this morning, asking God to reveal himself to you in a new and fresh way. You're going to have an opportunity to do that in just a minute as we sing our closing song. But I want to leave you with this one quote. And I pray that it might speak to you as you seek to allow God to reveal himself to you in a new and fresh way so that you might have a fresh start in this new year. And it's this. It says, what you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of life. God, as we sang about earlier, this breath that is in our lungs is a gift from you. And I pray that we would use it to pour out your praise, not just in this service, but with our very lives, God. We thank you that you meet us where we are. We pray that, we thank you that you speak to us through your word and through your people. God, I pray that you would just give us an awareness of your presence and provision and purpose, and that you would give us the strength and the courage and the faith to respond in our lives. God, we love you and thank you for your unconditional love and grace and mercy that is ours through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.